Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Paul Lawrence, a partner at PricewaterhouseCoopers, and today's conversation is with Karen Cleary Alderman, Executive Director of the Joint Financial Management Improvement Program. Joining us in our conversation is Ken Bresnahan, the Director of PwC's eCFO practice.
Thank you, Paul. Karen, you talked a little bit earlier about the role JFMIP plays in developing functional requirements that agencies can use for financial systems. Can you tell us a little more about the process that you use for developing those cross-agency requirements?
Well, we look for a senior-level team leader from an agency with a strong incentive to develop system requirements. For instance, the Department of Education led the process to update the direct loan systems requirements document. They manage a huge direct loan portfolio, and they also were looking to replace their direct loan system. So they were a strong advocate of doing that. Department of Defense led the development of the property system requirements. After identifying a leader from an agency, we organize representation from all around the federal government who has an interest. We get work teams together. JFMIP staff facilitates the process. We don't consider ourselves the expert in every area. We are the facilitator to bring the experts together. We develop a document. We vet it around within the federal environment first to the interest groups and to the organizations, make sure we haven't said anything really dumb. And then after the steering committee is satisfied that the document is reasonably complete, we put it out through a formal exposure draft process. We put it in the Federal Register. We put it out for open comment, and we get thousands of comments on these documents, and we resolve every comment before it's issued in final. That's basically the process, and we've done it about 12 times in the last 3 years.
I was going to say, how long does the whole cycle take?
Depending on the difficulty, when it's a update of an existing document, it usually takes maybe 6 to 8 months. The development of a new document that's never been done before, grants, property, we're currently doing benefit systems, that may take a year to 18 months.
How should we measure how well our financial systems are doing? What indicators should we be looking at?
Well, the high order measures is whether an agency can get a clean opinion. On that measure, 18 agencies succeeded in 2000. There are a variety of debates about how to measure the goodness of your financial systems. In addition to clean opinions, there has been whether the systems support the requirements of the Federal Financial Management Improvement Act, and those high-level requirements are whether the systems comply with the U.S. Standard General Ledger, whether they support federal accounting standards, and whether they comply with systems requirements. Based on those measures, I will tell you that auditors and agency heads disagree, but agency heads said that 9 agencies complied with the requirements of the Federal Financial Management Improvement Act in 2000, and the General Accounting Office has a somewhat lower number, about half that number. But those reviews do suggest that many agencies do not have integrated systems. Their systems do not support accounting standards in some cases. They do not comply or use the U.S. Standard General Ledger. Many organizations have trouble fully complying with security requirements associated with systems. So based on those types of measures, that they paint a little less optimistic picture than the clean opinions. And then finally, there's other types of benchmarks you might want to look at for systems. What is the process cost of the processes these systems support? What's the cycle time? What's the access to information by managers? These types of benchmarks are not audited for, but I think they're very important.
Karen, can you tell us a bit about JFMIP's role in redesigning the procurement process for financial systems?
Well, when I came to JFMIP in 1998, I knew that a principal job I had to do was to facilitate the transition from the existing mandatory FMSS schedule. That was the mandatory schedule where agencies who wanted to buy a commercial core accounting system had to buy it from a specific schedule that GSA managed. The vendor offerings on that schedule were tested as part of the procurement process, but because the testing and procurement were linked, agencies did not know what was tested, how it was tested. Vendors did not know what was on the test until they walked into the test. The testers were volunteers. The test itself was not comprehensive. They didn't really find that out until after they acquired their system off of this and found that out. So basically, a study called the Joint System Solution Team Study had made a series of recommendations to separate the procurement and the testing process for core financial systems, provide a mechanism to provide a lot more information about what these systems entailed and how it was tested, get rid of the mandatory schedule, and JFMIP was tagged to facilitate this transition process. So that's how we got into the business of testing and qualifying core financial systems.
What about your role in actually doing the testing of vendor systems?
Well, what we do, we issue the core financial system requirements document. That's part of that series of documents that I talked about. Then we develop a functional test that the goal was to test 100% of the mandatory requirements. We hit about 91% the first time we managed this test. And to do an end-to-end functional test that tests each requirement and tested whether the accounting calculations were done and the general ledger effects were appropriate and so forth. We built that test and we started testing software in 1999. In 2000, a major new requirement came out, FACS 2, so we did an incremental test on that software. The impact on the community, I think it's a very effective communication device to industry that unless they pass this test, they can't, their products can't be used by the federal government. So they got a lot more interested in finding out what the federal requirements were. And I think, on balance, the federal agencies got much better products than they would have had absent this process. We publish the test. We publish expected results. It's an open book test. Federal agencies can have full disclosure about how we test, what we test. Now, the testing process has helped organize the market, helped get better products available to federal agencies. But it doesn't do the whole thing. Federal agencies still have to do a selection of what best fits their environment. They have to figure out how this product fits with their legacy systems, their feeder systems. So there's still a lot of work on the agencies on in terms of getting these products to work in their environment.
How difficult was it to organize this process? What was the feedback from the agencies?
From the numbers that I told you before, all these agencies that were replacing their systems, the agencies were very anxious to have a better process than what was available to them prior to 1999. The agencies would have liked to have, I think, even more centralized quality assurance because it's a very tough business replacing systems. The type of feedback that I've had generally is great acceptance of what we've been doing. They just wish that we could actually do more in terms of mitigating risk. It's still a very tough business getting successfully transitioning to new systems.
We know that more and more agencies are moving towards using COTS packages. Could you describe the challenges and the benefits of this approach?
Well, basically, for COTS, you have to look at what the economics of software is these days, the economics of administrative systems. Agencies are moving from a period where they built their own systems basically back in the 70s and 80s, or in some cases they acquired products from commercial vendors, but those products were actually almost custom built for the federal environment. The current environment is that the agencies are taking advantage of products that are built for mass markets in many cases, the Oracle Enterprise Resource Suite, the SAP, the Even the AMS has a fairly broad market base. The benefit, I guess, of commercial off-the-shelf software is that companies which are expert in building these systems and also are investing significantly in R&D are supplying products that the government sector can use. Our core competency is not building administrative systems. It shouldn't be. We should try and take advantage of this when it's available in the commercial marketplace.
It's a good stopping point. It's time for a break. Stick with us. When we're back, we'll ask Karen Cleary Alderman of JFMIP about the effects all these planned retirements will have on financial management. This is the Business of Government Hour.